We're really blessed to have Enosa Alva'a, our intern, come and speak to us today. Welcome, Enosa. Talofa.
Talofa.
Should we all say talofa? Talofa lava? Great. Make you feel at home. G'day. But let's just pray for Enosa as he comes and shares, what is it, quite a challenging passage. Loving God, I thank you for Enosa. I thank you very much for your call on his life. A call to mission and ministry. And Lord, we would pray in Jesus' name that as he brings us your word, that you would be with him. We thank you that you have been with him as he's been preparing and studying your word. And we pray that you might speak to our hearts and encourage us and challenge us as we face that same challenge that the 12 did of being sent out in mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Great.
Thank you for that, Howard. Well, it's lovely to be here this morning. And, you know, I've been watching from Zoom right in my place in Papakura. So it's nice to be able to be here physically, isn't it? And I know that one of the things that I've enjoyed is how people are just waving to see each other and saying, I know you. I haven't seen you for a while. It's good to see that you're in church this morning. For those at home, greetings to you, ngā mihi nui, tēnā koutou katoa. Let me just make sure that I've got my timing right here, because sometimes people can speak and can be quite, here we go. So when it bleeps, it means that stop it, you've had enough. Now, what a lovely time of singing. I just thought that that was a real beautiful way to start off this morning, that we can come into the house of God and just enjoying his presence for who he is. And I thank you for the musicians. Thank you for the way that you just bring it out to us and make it alive. Well, that was a mouthful, that passage, wasn't it? There were three important, and I really wanted that to come across this morning. You ought to see the connectivity of the whole scripture, of the whole Bible from the Old Testament to the New. So the story of, who was that guy there? Of Moses. So important for you to capture that, because that was a mission in itself, wasn't it? And then you hear the cry of the people of Israel from the Psalms. And then right in Matthew, what do we see? Quite stunning, isn't it? And I think sometimes we have to look at the scripture and saying, this is how it is. God just didn't just put one passage there. He actually means the whole thing to be read in its fullness. And that's why I was so much wanting to get the fullness of the gospel this morning, because it is part of God's word for us this morning. Amen. In 1982, a New Zealand artist by the name of Graham Braddock, some of you may not know, was called to speak in a youth camp in Narawahia. His mission, he was to preach to the campers. I was one of those people in the camp. And guess what? The Spirit revealed the word in me. And bang, I gave my heart to the Lord. God's missions following my conversion was to grow me. God's mission for me was to grow me in the Lord. I committed to home group, the local discipleship mission. Together with my wife, we committed our family to a church lifestyle. In other words, we said, church was part of us. Every Sunday, that is it. Church was part of us. Felicity and I became involved in our children's ministry. And man, that was our ministry. I can tell you about that. We had run two different ministry in schools. We had over 150 to 200 people every week. What a mission. As a school teacher, you know, God had birthed into me the desire, how do I influence people with the new love of God? Mission, full of mission. I even had my own staff coming to me and saying, I want to be a missionary. And I'm saying, well, actually, what do you mean? To go out overseas? Here's the mission, right here as a classroom teacher. Fill that place with God-like manners so that people can take it home. That's mission. In 2016, God called me to learn more about him. And this is the ongoing mission in my life. And look, aren't you so lucky to have me? Hey, well, you know, The point I'm making, mission is a way of life. Mission is a way of life. For me, it started in 1982. Guess how old I am now. For some of you this morning, it would have started a lot earlier. And for some of you, it would have started a lot later. Mission is a way of life. So whatever your situation, mission is an ongoing call of God for the followers of Jesus. That's what I love it. Mission is an ongoing call of God for the followers of Jesus. Our story this morning is all about mission. Howard and Lorne have been talking about this, thy kingdom come. Well, Jesus in this text instructs his disciple to go out and preach to the community. First, to the Israelites. Secondly, to the Gentiles. That the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. Wasn't that amazing? So I thought this morning, you know, you've got this idea of missions through the scriptures that we've had. There's a lot of activities there. I thought I might just choose three. I call it the three hats. So to hint your understanding and my understanding of mission, there's a lot there. I can't go through all of it. You can read it for yourself, but I've chosen three things, but I even decided to bring in some symbol to help us this morning or what that might look like. So it's I call it three hats. So my first hat, when we talk about mission, some of you will have worn this. This is, I was specifically told to make sure that this bit here doesn't stay there. But some of you will know, what is that all about? Well, this is my first pillar of the missions that I'm going to talk about this morning. It's this what I call the wise hat. The wise hat. Actually, by the way, let me just think back. Well, Jesus was talking to his disciple. So let me take you back to that when Jesus is saying to disciple, when you feel unwelcome, leave. What else do you want to know? Absolutely, leave. Unwelcome in the context of the first century involves when you're preaching, and this is Jesus, and you can actually have a look in your Bible. Jesus is saying to his disciple, when you're preaching or sharing the word, the people will disrupt you. There will be hostility towards you. You will be both physically and mentally tired. You know who was ruling at the time? It was the Roman Empire. I would not have been wanting to be in that community. I'll tell you right now. When you know about the Roman Empire, it's the last thing you want to know about. God is saying, be wise. Then, so when you're talking to them, they will not listen. You will feel isolated and lonely. You'll feel like a fool. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Read the Bible. When you're explaining, they will switch off. Are you switching off? Oops. You'll switch off. They will not understand, and they will walk away and report you, and because you're a lawbreaker. We just heard it this morning. That's what Jesus was telling them. People will not be kind to you. What does that mean? Well, not be kind. Officials will put you into prison. You will be accused of inciting harmful activities. What does that mean? Well, insightful activities. I'll follow that up later on. So right there in the context, Jesus was talking to his disciple, and he was telling them, this is what's going to happen. Mission. Really? So be wise. Be wise. Be wise. The physical interaction will be intense. The Romans and the Jewish community will be relentless in their pressure to discredit who you are. Why? Because of me. How can you do that? Telling his disciples. Bring it in today. I'm thinking, oh dear me, what's, how can we think about, well today, unwelcoming actions, just as Jesus was talking about, relates to the age of riches and worry. That's today's practices, I think. Let me ask you the question, what is consuming people's lives today? Different form? Careers! Of course it does. I once had a career. I still have a career. I spent lots of hours in my lifetime working to become a school principal. That was my career before I came here. It's so easily done. Financial security. Wow! These are the unwelcoming actions. The family commitment. I'm not saying families are bad. The reality is people spend a lot of energy about in their families. What about culture? I happen to be a very cultured person. You talk to me about culture, you'll never take your foot out of the brake, I tell you. Culture is so important to me. We can so much assume, and this is the unwelcoming, what I call, response to the riches and the worries of today. Is there space for Jesus in the midst of your busy lives and busy commitment? That's the question. Is there space for Jesus while striving to be well off because to become self-sufficient? Is there a space for Jesus? Is there welcome for Jesus and the desire to do well? I often ask the question, I made it earlier, what do homes mostly participate in today? My thinking, probably some sports, some education, some, and here's the fear of survival. Lots of families are in the survival mode at the moment. They don't know where things are happening. COVID would have taught us a lot about that. All of the above contributes to the unwelcome practices that Jesus spoke about to his disciples, then and now. So how are you placed for mission today? How are you placed for mission? What can I do in God's mission at home? What can I do in not your mission, in God's mission at home? What can I do in God's mission at work? Where you're placed, where you're going every day. What can I do in God's mission right here in Whangarei? My second hat, love these hats. Oh, no. Remember this? This is what I call my alert hat. You know, when you go into the building construction, people are wearing this. Why? For protection, isn't it? This is what this next hat is going to talk about. It's about God is alerting you to be aware. I call it my awareness hat. And the first thing he talks about is be on guard. Read 17 and 18. Be on guard. So then, this is Jesus talking to his disciple. The thing is that Jesus used metaphors and symbols to talk about this idea of being aware of people. So he uses things, words like sheep. And my wife teaches me, don't say sheeps. It's sheep. Yeah. Wolves is the other one. Jesus used the word wolves. And then what about the symbol of snakes and doves? It's very fascinating. But what Jesus was doing, he was talking to his disciple and actually just getting, I'd almost say they were thick. But the reality is he was trying to get a message across to them so that they can understand. And you know that a sheep and a wolf just don't go, right? You know, and they referred to the sheep as the Israelites, didn't they? And the wolves as the Gentiles. And you get the proverbial says, oh, you're going to be going to the wolves. Interesting how Jesus used to do that. But he taught to them about it because he said, be aware of the sheep, be aware of the wolves, be aware of the snake. Now, I was really interested about snakes. And I thought, what are you talking about? I don't want to be talking about snakes. But then I looked right at the beginning in Genesis 3:1. What happened there? Let me just read what he said. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. Bingo. Smart. But God was saying, be aware, be on guard. and be like the serpent. Be wise. This is about being on guard. Jesus refers to scribes and Pharisees as serpents. Wow! That was Jesus talking to his disciple. Today, 2020, here are what I think wolves might be in society. Class systems. What do they look like? The have and the have-nots. I think there are wolves in there, isn't it? The have and the have-nots. The poor, let me just put it quite plainly, the homeless people that can't eat, they can't feed. That's what I think this is about for me in this century. The rich and the wealthy. What about the infrastructure that you're exposed to every day? For instance, accessibility and inequalities. Accessibility came as a result, we heard what we call the Me Too movement. What was that about? People with power can't be accessed, you don't have the means to do so. So now we've got the Me Too movement, and guess what? We have a lot of people that are found wanting, right? I also think about this, you know, the alert at people's attitude. You know, the wolves in that system. People said, right now, racism, inequality, and unrest is happening right across the world. The Black Lives Matter is an example of that. If you want to know about it, it's happening right across the world. Isn't those the wolves that Jesus are talking about? He talked differently, but I'm saying it, that this is what's happening today. The workplace, the inequity of women and men, rewards. There's an imbalance. Those are things. Sometimes there are wolves it gets into. What about the church? Are there wolves in the church? Well, let me say, it can and will. And leadership, Howard will know a lot more about this, but there was a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Gearing. I understand that was an interesting time in the Presbyterian circle. So within the church, there are all of these things that we've got to be thinking. And Jesus was talking about, look out for the sheep, look out for the wolves. My second part for my hat is the don't worry, be afraid. Don't worry. That's another part of the sort of hat that I'm talking about. You know, it's quite funny. I look at this and I'm thinking, Jesus, what are you saying? Now, here it is, the conversation. There are only 12 disciples, and he's talking to them. It's like consoling them. And then he still wants them to go out and preach. And he says things like, don't worry, my spirit will be with you. Go out, but don't worry. It's like, yeah, have faith, trust in me, that the Holy Spirit will take. So it's kind of, for me, it's quite funny. He knows what's happening. He knows what's happening. So he's trying to give, in one hand, push him out, and the other hand, oh, wow, I feel so bad about this. But don't worry, the Spirit of God will be with you. That's the best I can describe it. Have faith. Stand firm. It is a lifetime commitment. I want you to pick this out. Stand firm. Mission is actually a lifetime commitment. Stand firm in what God has planted in you. And then he's saying this to the disciple. Stand firm. Good news will divide families. He said in verse 21. I'm God, though. I know everything. Does that to help you become mission? I'm God. But this is what he's talking to his disciples about. And he's saying, you know what, I talk to you in the darkness, I'll be expected to be in light. The dark versus light metaphors. You know, I'm here. I'm the light. Get it out there. That's how I see it. And then he continues to go, don't fear man and remain faithful in me. Don't fear man, but remain faithful. That's a lot more than There's a lot more of what we talked about, the wise in the mind. Because those things work. You can only physically, but at some point of time, the mind takes over. Be wise. Trials and tribulation in life are not overwhelming. It's so easy for you, Jesus, to say that. But the reality is, he's telling it before he went out, before he sent out the mission. Do not fear. Jesus is consoling and affirming his disciples. Today, we can be fooled.
We can't be fooled where our trust and dependency lie. Who did our community put their trust in during COVID-19? Was it the government? Was it the church? Was it an organization? Was it the economy? You'll know the answer to that. My answer personally, I trusted the Lord that he would do what he needs to do to look after me. There's a faith element in there. And for me during this time, I just trusted the Lord that he will do what he has to do for me and for the people that were in this country. You know, one of the things I learned during COVID-19, while I was ringing up some of our church families during the time, one of the things that came across, and I was just incredibly, I was affirmed by it, was that they were without doubt trusting in God for their families, for themselves, for their community here in Whangarei, for people that they know, for the country. And that's something I think we need to celebrate in. The mission is right here. And during this time, we were interceding for what was happening. The mission of God is right here. Finally, in my alert hat, is this: people will hate you. That's a very strong statement. It's a very strong statement. Have you said to your wife, I hate you? Have you said to your friend, I hate you? There's a lot of connotations to it. But here, Jesus is quite blunt. Everyone will hate you. He doesn't say, and I underline the word everyone. He doesn't say some will. He doesn't say your friends will. He says everyone. And this is him talking with his disciple. Flee, Jesus say. Flee, run. Go back to the first act. Be wise. Your commitment is for life. This is what he's saying to his disciple. Stand firm. I'll come back. The Israelites, I will come back. Today, using the same, you know the biggest people who are actually condemned at the moment? Well, you may be interested, but they are the Christians. Have a look at the Open Door Organization's website. The persecuted churches around the world. Christians' persecution around the world is one of the biggest human rights issues in this era. Christians' persecution takes many forms. It is defined as any hostility experienced as a result of identification with Jesus. So if you go up down the road and, you know what, identify with Jesus, this is what this. There are people are being tortured for their faith around the world. There are people that have been put in prison for their faith. There are people who are dying for their faith. Actually, what happened in the first century? This is exactly what Jesus was talking to his disciple about. It hasn't changed, has it? What about New Zealand? You know, I looked, I was interested to see where are some of these places that are the most people you can't openly say who you are. Okay, North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, right down to India. So we're still getting the lost in this whole process. But today, this is what's happening. It is the same message that Jesus was talking to his disciple about in the first century as it is today. My final hat is what I call the be filled hat. You know, Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? He's got a wonderful way of talking about, but you know what? You can't do it on your own. Don't think for one minute that you can do mission on your own. If you can, let me know. I can't think for one minute that you can do mission on your own. But my third hat is, be filled with the Spirit.
be filled with the Spirit. So, when Jesus was talking to his disciple, guess who was with him? The real thing. Jesus was with his disciple. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. Who is Jesus? The Word. He was there. And then he even talked to them about, and this is what I was all about, the consoling, but he was saying, don't panic. My Spirit will be with you when you get dragged up to go in front of people. God was actually being real. Jesus was actually being real. As much as those they can. I've just had to think about my imagination how that would be. But the Spirit was revealed to those people. What happened when Peter, you know, after in Pentecost, what happened when he stood up in front of so many people and defended the position of what happened? Oh, these people are drunk in the morning. The pubs are open. What does he do? He stands up and 3,000 people apparently came to the Lord. The Spirit of God works. And this is what he was. So then Jesus was talking to his disciples about it. 12 disciples, specifically to be quiet. The church? Well, today, the Word is real. The Bible is real. The Spirit breathed the Word to people who wrote the Bible. Isn't that right? It is real to us. This is the bit that we don't want to miss out on. So those days, they were lucky to have Jesus right in front of them. Today, we're looking at Jesus through the print, but actually, it is the Word. The Word was, the Word is, and so forth. The Spirit is also enables us to understand the Word. How much I need that. How much I need God to reveal in me, what is it that you're saying in the Word for me? What is it that you're saying in the Word for my brothers and sisters in the Lord? What is it that you say in the Word for the way that I conduct myself every day of my life? That's the Word. And if you really want to have a good look at it, have a look at the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? A good measure, I call it. Have a look at it. Love, peace, go on. And finally, the church. That's today. That's today. The what I call the fill. The church needs each other. We need each other. And the Spirit of the church, I think, needs to be awakened. We need to be working together. Mission. So let me close off. I had three hats. And honestly, because my memory is fading anyway, but I wanted to make sure that I can hook on something for you to think about. So the three hats, Weiss, the alert, and felt hat. I think there are only some of the things that I've picked out reading the scripture, how vital they are in God's mission to spread the good news. You know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28. The then, that was at the time. The now, today in 2020. And the yet to come. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, I will come back. That's the hope. That's who I live for. The mission is the transformative Word of God in us. The transformative Word of God in us. The kingdom of God, that's the mission. The mission is a lifetime commitment in Christ. Life in the Spirit. The filled hat, I call it. Read Romans 8. Beautiful. As disciples, we stand before the Word. We learn to say, as Jesus said, when tempted by Satan, I love this part. Satan goes, you know what? God will provide you the food. And what does Jesus do? It is written. His response. Let me read one. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, da da da. Jesus said, once again, it is written. You are not to put the Lord your God. And finally, one of those temptations, I will give you all these things if you throw yourself on the ground and worship me. What does Jesus say? Satan, for it is written, you are to worship the Lord. The alert hat, I called it. And finally, the Spirit reveals the Word. Learn from the Spirit. Get to know the Spirit, the wise head. Commission. God commissions us to spread the good news every day. The wise head, the alert head, and your filled head. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that your word is so much about us, so much for the living, so much for us that wants to do things for you, and thank you for reminding us that we can't do anything without you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.